Padvedhi Padipatena Padiprasnena Sevaya Padekshanti Tegyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshinah Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Report the path of self-realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the cyclic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of the cyclic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the cyclic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve a spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees a genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 4th chapter, 34th verse, in the matter of transcendental knowledge. Spoken today, which is on the 17th of June 2008, in the holy year of our beloved Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, year 522. Spoken at the Radha Raja Bihari Temple, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Temple, Gornitai Temple, and Miami Coconut Grove, which is on the western side of the Salt Ocean and the west of the Ganges. Hare Om Tat Sat. Learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So you're approaching, inquiring, and rendering service. Are 3 points. First, you need to approach a spiritual master. It's up to the candidate to say if they want to be under shelter of a spiritual master or if they want to be initiated. They have to approach the spiritual master regarding these things. Then they need also to, of course, in this time we have many different guides. There's the temple president or the temple board, and there's senior devotees, senior god brothers, god sisters, who are also helping us. Some maybe like a siksha guru or a counselor or a mentor. They're also helping the spiritual master train the disciple. If there's something which creates confusion and can't be cleared up, then one goes to the spiritual master and the shelter. And you ask submissively a question, doesn't this also... This doesn't mean that we should be like challenging. It shouldn't be challenging. At the same time, this question was asked that what if the spiritual master seems to be asking something which is against the scripture? For instance, we were reading in some other temple, I was just at about Bali Maharaj. For all along his guru, Sukracharya, had been telling him to surrender to Vishnu and to do Vishnu Yajna, and this way he would defeat Indra. So he did a lot of Vishnu sacrifices and he was worshipping Vishnu and he was able to defeat Indra. But now the Vamana Dev came and he was begging 3 steps of land, but the guru said, don't surrender because he's Vishnu, he'll take everything away from you. So then he was inquiring, that you told me before to surrender to Vishnu and now you're telling me not to surrender to him. So why this contradiction? So then he ultimately decided not to follow the guru, which is a very big decision. But that's some decision sometime you might make, like sometime in ISKCON there was a Sadhguru, he was telling everyone, surrender to Prabhupada, follow the Prabhupada parampara, stay in ISKCON. But then something went wrong in his head and then all of a sudden he started telling his disciple, I'm leaving ISKCON, you leave with me. So then some disciple inquired, why you told us all along to stay in ISKCON, why you want us now to leave? So like this, we have that right to always ask a question of the spiritual master. He can't... It's not, Prabhupada said, it's not like a blind faith. We do use our... But normally after initiation, you don't expect that kind of thing, but in some rare cases, if it happens, it's not an offense to make an inquiry. On what basis you're saying this obvious contradiction? If you're not satisfied, then you have the right not to follow. Especially on some major issue, like not serving Krishna, not serving Prabhupada, something like that. So this is... Prabhupada once told me that it's not an offense to make an inquiry. He said, disciples have a right to make inquiry. If it's something that the Guru is saying that's confusing, then they can clear it up. Or if there's something being said which seems to contradict some other instruction, he may have the answer. Maybe that sometimes scripture says different things at different times. And how to apply that, that's also just like scripture says, don't touch, if you touch a stool of any living entity, then that's contaminated and you have to take a shower. But then it says we can bathe the deity with cow dung.
So Prabhupada said, because cow dung, there's some special verses that say that cow dung is an exception. It's always pure. So sometimes there may be some reason, but we do have a right to submissively inquire. And one essential aspect is rendering service. When it says render service to the guru, it means doing things which are under the guru's instruction. Personal service to the guru or bapu seva is one of them, but vani seva, or serving his instructions, is another, and considered by experts to be even more important. And just like serving the deities, the guru may be requesting that you serve the temple, serve the deities, serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So hearing those instructions out is also serving the guru. Just like we have here beautiful deities, devotees also need to be in a service attitude. But that's part of their service to guru, because all the service we do, we serve the deities, whether it's like the brahmanas, they put their guru's picture on the plate and they offer their seva through the guru as the servant of the servant of Krishna. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, Gopi Bharta Pada Kamala Yora Dasa Dasa Nudasa. When we come to a temple, also, or we come to see that guru, Prabhupada personally told me, because he had sent me to see Lalita Prabhu, Lalita Prasad Das, who was the younger brother of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had told others not to see him, but he sent me on some special mission and gave me permission to see him. He told me, whenever you see him, give him a donation, because he's my guru's brother, so he's like a guru varga. And it's tradition, if you see a guru or anyone on that level, give them some donations. So I was giving 51 rupees. Now 51 rupees, not much, but in those days it was more. That's what Prabhupada indicated would be all right. It was something, just as a token. Or like when you go to a temple, just like here we have a basket. You come and put in apples or oranges or peaches or something, grains, milk. So you come to see the deity, you put, if you're not very wealthy, give a piece of fruit. If you got a surplus cash, I'm sure that they give a donation in a donation box. But that's the tendency that we come. In Srinathdwara, in India, when people come to see the deity, everybody gives flowers, fruits, milk, something. It's like the tradition that they even have a market there that you can buy things, not to take home, but to give to the deities. So many people come. And this way we can offer service. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Also we should serve the other devotees who are helping us, and sometimes when someone takes a Diksha Guru, then they forget all the help they're getting from the other devotees who are helping the spiritual master and helping Srila Prabhupada and training the devotees. We should always be respectful. I just like this, you'll see in the film that there's a couple in Cairns, Australia. The wife's my disciple, the husband's Sri Dayananda Maharaj's disciple, and there's many devotees there in Cairns. I mean, many means maybe a dozen or two. But they're not doing much service anymore. Somehow, whatever, they're semi-retired. But this couple has taken up some responsibility, started a Hare Krishna restaurant, holds a Sunday program in their house. And so because of this, so many, maybe 50 or 100 people, sometimes they organize a Rath Yatra. No temple, but just this one couple is doing everything under the authorization of the local GBC, Ramay Swami, and the regional secretary, Tirtharaj. So like this, they made such a difference and such an impact in so many people's spiritual lives. How one couple, one grihastha can do so much. So that's a proper seva attitude. Sometimes people think, oh, well, I did my service. I served my time, I did enough. Maybe they did a lot, and maybe Krishna will take them back for whatever they did, but our attitude should always be we want to serve Krishna, Guru, for our whole life, up to whatever capacity we have. But sometimes people show that they go out of their way and do something. So just like there's some devotees here taking a lot of responsibility. See that the deity service goes on, that the temple is maintained, that solve all the legal problems, and running a temple is like writing, it's a corporation, it's a family, it's a community, it's a temple. So there are many things that have to be seen. Some devotees may really not have any time because of young children or work or some other demands, but whatever time, some time can be given. That's one way. Prabhupada said, like if there's a bona fide post office box, you put your letters in it, it'll get to the destination. So like that we connect with a guru who's bona fide, that gets our service to Krishna. So one of the services we can do is serving the ISKCON temples. But also Krishna is directly there to accept our service. Forget I was in one temple, and somehow people came to the temple, they liked, but nobody, there were not many people were like offering any service or giving any kind of donation, so it was a big strain on the local management. So up to our capacity, we should do something to help. So if we're living in a particular community with deities, then serving them and seeing that they're taken care of, that's one of the important services we can do. Preaching, book distribution, Harinam, food for life, restaurant, congregational development. So many different services we can do according to whatever our nature and capacity we try to offer something. So that's our service to the spiritual master, to Prabhupada's movement, to Krishna. And that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as akarma. When we do a service dedicated to Guru and Krishna, that doesn't produce any karmic reactions. We do something for some material reason, it produces some material karma. So that's even somebody's inactive, but if they're doing inaction for material reasons, it's producing karma, it's action. But if someone's really active in Krishna's service, then it's actually inaction because they're not producing any karmas. So once we become devotees, once we take initiation, we want to be inactive karmically. And active devotionally. We can be inactive karmically by being active in devotional service. And Krishna takes all of our service and purifies it and transforms it into pure spiritual benefit. Are there any particular services here the temple needs? Hundreds. He has a big list. You can contact Dharmadas. He may have something for you. When I started, I was... what was your name again? Siddhavidya Prabhu. But there was a stewardess. You heard that? An airline stewardess flew up with me from Guayaquil to Miami when I came last... before the 6th of June for the Panihati festival. Then she was literally in tears at the happiest moment in her life, and her and her brother came across the Harinam party and the coconut grove, and everyone was chanting, and she started chanting and she felt God in her heart and she was so moved, and she wants to feel that again. So I gave her the Hare Krishna mantra again to hope she can. She lives here in Miami Beach somewhere. So the little things we do, that they may not realize it at the time. People walk by or somebody joins in, but it was a major impact in her life. She was the happiest she ever felt. Her brother recently died. She was a little bit emotional. Then she's thinking about taking the ashes to Mayapur to put into the Ganges. She was going to sprinkle it on Miami Beach. I told her it's really not the best thing. She doesn't know much, but she really liked the Harinam. And she knew the mantra. More or less, she knew it by heart. So I don't know how many people like that there are out there. You hear that before? Yeah, when I travel around, I meet all kinds of people. Somehow people feel they can open up to me and tell me what sometimes.